Hi, I'm Jim Stroud. Welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge. The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry, and it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
In the Recruiter's Lounge today, again with Steve Levy. Had such a good time talking to him before. I wanted to bring him back on a new subject. How are you, Steve?
I'm fine. This is like deja vu all over.
Eerily similar. Question for you. I was having a few cold ones with some friends of mine, and the question of ethics in recruiting came up. And we sort of bantered about back and forth about what's good to do, what's ethical and right to do as a recruiter, and what's unethical things to do with a recruiter. And also the subject of licensing came up. Maybe we should have an official license. I mean, you have a license to be a dog catcher, but you don't have a license to be a recruiter. What do you think about that kind of thing?
Well, let's see. You have a license to drive a car, and yet there are plenty of car accidents and people driving drunk. Do you know that apparently, this was an article, I read an article in the ultra-conservative New York Times a couple of weeks ago, and it spoke about licensing and whether licensing results in better performance. Apparently, as many as 3 out of every 10 workers nationwide are required to obtain a license to do their job.
Right.
I don't know if you realize that. You know, the usual rationale for occupational licensing is that it helps protect the public from unqualified providers. You know, when it comes to matters of life and death, you know, like jobs in the medical field, it's probably a stronger rationale than when it comes to, say, a manicurist or a shampooist.
Hmm.
Because, you know, I don't think, you know, we have serial shampooists or serial manicurists going around.
They must die.
Especially for me, you know, me being that I've got a full head of no hair, I probably wouldn't necessarily know about those things. However, there was, and I'm actually reading from an article that I wrote about this. Morris Kleiner, an economist at the University of Minnesota, an author of Licensing Occupations, Ensuring Quality or Restricting Competition, has concluded that there is little to show that occupational regulation has a major effect on the quality of service received by consumers. Then he says, but wages are another story. While tough licensing standards may help higher-income consumers avoid low-quality providers, it also appears to prevent lower-income consumers from gaining access to some services. Again, while there are a couple of different issues there, Kleiner and several other people have conducted studies on this, and they have shown, and I'll provide the link on the New York Times article about this, as well as other links, that seem to demonstrate that licensing has no bearing on the quality of the service. Essentially, people who are licensed provide results and services that are the same as people who are unlicensed. Given that licensing is moving away from being a gating type function, whereas it's becoming more of a revenue generating function. And that's sort of moved away from the spirit of licensing in the first place.
But what about professions like maybe I shouldn't say lawyers, but
let's take lawyers.
Okay.
Everyone who's listening, you and I, we know people who are really great lawyers.
One of my best friends is a lawyer.
And likewise, but we also know people who are only passable lawyers.
Right.
And you know, if you had a problem, and you had a chance to go to your friend, you know, who is a passable lawyer versus someone who you don't know, but you know from other people reference checking that he's a great lawyer, you're going to go to the one who's a really good lawyer, depending on the severity of the issue. But that has nothing to do whether he's licensed or not, or she's licensed or not. I think, here's a good example. Let's go right to recruiting. I think about 3% of recruiters and that pool may be a fall school, are members of NAPS, National Association of Personnel Services, I think I'm...
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I'm familiar with it.
And, you know, NAPS has a, they have a code, they have licensing. Curiously enough, SHRM doesn't have any specific licensing for recruiters. They do have the PHRs and SPHRs, but, you know, only a small part of those are related to recruiting. But does that necessarily mean that a NAPS recruiter is a better recruiter because they are licensed? Even NAPS wouldn't go so far as to say that. They certainly like receiving the licensing fees, the certification fees, but when it comes to are the results of the performances of a licensed recruiter better than another recruiter, there's no data on it.
Well, doesn't that, well, as a sort of a counter-argument to that, say you sure. did have official licensing, and then you had where you had to recertify every so often. Like, I think like with doctors or something, they have to take additional tests or some kind of certification every so often.
Yeah, they have to assume a certain number of continuing education credits each year. I have a friend of mine who is not a laryngologist. See him in the gym every morning, and every morning he's got a couple of cards that he's reading, and they're tests. There are things that he has to read and comment on every. You know, every so often, he showed me the card. I read the card and I took the questions. I answered the questions and I got 100%. I'm not even a doctor. And you know, so you know, licensing. It all depends how it's implemented. How would we recertify a recruiter? Okay, Jim. For your test, you have to recruit a CFO. You have 35 minutes. Ready, go. How would we do that? I mean, would we just, make sure that they understand the state, state laws? You know, it's open book stuff. I mean, how do you really assure that somebody is?
Well, that's a good question.
How to do that?
That's a good question. I wrote this article on that very thing, and in my article, I was talking about, I was sort of playing with the idea of it, and I was sort of for it in the sense that. It would promote some kind of accountability. If a job seeker is treated wrong, like say for example, they're looking into company X to get a position, and they specifically tell the recruiter, you know, this is confidential, I don't want my name out there, I'm just kicking tires, and the recruiter does it anyway, puts the name out there, and the guy loses his job, and who can he sue? You know, who can he complain to? There's no Board of Ethics that he can complain to in recruiting people.
But there are two sides to that. There's always a caveat emptor, buyer beware. And here we're getting into an area that it really is a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. Do we maintain a professional database of people who are slimy at best? Is the best way to describe them. I mean, do we keep that? Do we just have a place where we post? Have like a website? Now there are websites for that women have created to post names of men who are jerks.
That'd be a big database, I think.
I know there would be no eligible bachelors left. Do we create a recruiting website for stupidrecruiters.com?
You know, whoever is listening or whoever may take this, this is a good idea. I mean, what if there was like a better business bureau for recruiters, and people could, and job seekers could list their complaints like a plan of feedback, if you're familiar with that website. For example, just go in and say, I talked to this recruiter, and they rocked, and they were great, 4 stars. Or I talked to this recruiter, and they never called me back, and I called them 20 times.
Yeah.
You know, that would be sort of interesting. It's just my whole argument in the licensing of recruiters is that that there would be somewhere where there would be some form of accountability, and job seekers don't feel like they're just flapping in the wind.
You know what? And I just wrote about this actually earlier today. You know, Dave Lefka, today is March 21st, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dave Lefka wrote a nice little summary of the ERE ethics panel on as an article today.
Mm-hmm.
And I noted, Let's look at the recruiting profession. You know, why do we have this moniker, this bad moniker hanging over our heads? in the business of saying no. We think we say yes, but in that massive funnel that we use to get down to a final slate, we say no to a lot of people. No, I'm sorry, you're not good enough. No, I don't think you're qualified, etc. We piss off a lot of people.
Sure.
And, you know, people actually think that they are better than others tell them they are. It's human nature. You know, what does that recruiter know? He only spoke to me for an hour. He doesn't know me.
Right.
Well, you know, we're doing the best we can. But in the course of doing that, people are going to get angry. They're going to get hurt. And, especially recently been part of a mass layoff by HR, so you know what they think about HR.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, they talk to their friend who's maybe had a cousin or a brother who's experienced similar things, and collectively they get together and start realizing that, you know, recruiters, what a bunch of bastards they are.
Hmm.
And it grows from there. It festers. Because, you know, we want to tell them what's right. I'm sorry, you know, we didn't hire you because, quite honestly, you don't have the skills. You're not smart enough. But what do we say instead? Well, we decided to go in a different direction. We found other candidates who, we say stuff.
Right.
Instead of doling out the truth. Now, that in and of itself, there are problems with that. Because, you know, if you tell the truth, invariably, someone's not going to like it, and they're going to sue. We're damned if we do, and damned if we don't.
Right.
So, is the problem that recruiters are unethical, or is the problem that we are part of a system that gives us no alternative?
Hmm. Interesting argument, because I've seen two sides of the coin. One is a place online to gripe about recruiters, and on the other end, you have it where the recruiter says this person just was not the right fit, and they're complaining anyway, so the recruiter can be liable even though they may have done their job anyway.
Exactly, and so what do you do in that case? Well, then you're pretty up, you know which creek you're up in that case. and you're not left with many options. Well, we are left with options. You're called into the head of HR's office who maybe received a complaint from the hiring manager, who received a call from a candidate who you summarily dismissed because, well, they weren't strong enough, but they knew somebody who knew the hiring manager who called them. It's ugly. You can't win. We all know what that feels like, Jim, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. We
yeah.
Do. You know, and will licensing prevent that? I don't think so. I mean, what's next? Are we going to license human behavior during a job search? It's certainly absurd.
What do you think about the argument of it'll give peace of mind to job seekers? They know that the company holds recruiting in such high esteem and to such a high standard that we have our people certified every so often.
I tell you, Jim, that's really nice, but, you know, I was turned down by a certified recruiter. I still don't feel any better. I was turned down. People are still turned. When you turn down, you turn down. It doesn't matter whether you're turned down with a smile or turned down with a smack in a you know where.
Mm-hmm.
You're still turned down, and you wake up the next morning, you say, you know, I don't feel any better.
Hmm. Food for thought. Steve Levy discussing, should recruiters be licensed? I guess it's a good title for this. Thank you for your time in Recruiters Lounge.
Yeah, should recruiters be sent up a river really sometimes? You're welcome, Jim.
Whichever title works. Thank you for your time in Recruiters Lounge.
You're welcome. Take care.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's jimstroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.